Welcome to The Southern Bruja, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to reviewing horror novels new and old, Latinx folklore, and a dash of all things Southern and weird. I'm your host, Melanie. On today's episode, I sit down for a conversation with author V. Castro as we talk about her newest short story release, Mestiza Blood, out today. Thank you so much for being here, Violet. I am so honored to talk to you today. I am a huge fan of your work. For those that may not be as familiar or just kind of learning about you, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So my name is Violet. I'm on my books, you'll see V. Castro. And I'm a Latina, Mexican-American woman, originally from Texas. I live in the UK now. I write science fiction, horror, erotic horror, short stories, sometimes nonfiction pieces. And I just love what I do. And I'm really honored and grateful I can represent, you know, appreciate every opportunity that comes.
Well, have you always wanted to be a writer? And if so, like, why horror? What is it about the horror genre that you love?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So since I was a kid, I always loved kind of spooky stories and you know, being Mexican American, you grow up with a lot of folklore and a lot of tales. Of course, the better known ones, La Llorona and La Lechuza, you just know it. And then also the Aztec history is a bit of a horror. So, you know, what happened with the conquest, everything. It's just always kind of captivated my imagination. And then a few years ago, actually, I started later in life. Late 30s, I felt like something was really missing. I started writing and I haven't stopped. So for anyone out there who's like, oh, it's too late for me, I can never do it, or it's never too late. Get out there, write your stories, submit your stories, work on your craft. It's never too late. It was just something I've always been a reader, always been interested in scary stories. And then also I'm 42, horror films of like the 80s and the 90s. I mean, come on. I mean, I was like so young when I first saw Gremlins and I loved it, and Chud and Ghoulies and all of those films, The Exorcist. I was super young when I first saw that, probably too young, but you know, seeing all those Nightmare on Elm Street, all those films kind of, yeah, I've always just been a fan. It's been a perfect storm, kind of.
I love that. I love all of the things you just listed. They were a huge part of my upbringing, too. It's funny because my parents are very, like, trying to watch what I, like, consumed. But I was just, like, innately interested in this horror genre. And just, it didn't scare me. It was intriguing. And I think, like you said, part of that is having that Latinx culture and heritage. It's something that's kind of ingrained in you, magic and kind of monsters.
Yes, yes.
Very much just part of your daily life in a lot of ways.
The supernatural is real almost. I grew up always believing in the supernatural, that it was just a natural part of life.
Yes, I love that. So did I. So my parents are from Puerto Rico. I was born in New York. And so I would say heritage definitely has a big part of the influence of horror. So how much would you say? You mentioned, you know, the horror movies of the 70s and 80s and kind of the folklore of your culture. When it comes to taking that and turning that into these beautifully done novels with these strong Latinx characters, how do you approach that?
You know what? It's really all about flow and being open. And it just, I cannot describe it in any other way. As it just, I'll get an idea in my mind and then I'll go with it. I literally will just see something, hear something, and it'll just ignite my imagination, and or I'll hear a story, or I'll see a scene, and then I'll just be so excited about that scene. And then what's the story behind the scene? And then I'll just write it out. It's just everything. It's a bit of everything that kind of makes these stories. It's a lot of it is who I am as a woman, as a mother, as a Latina, a woman of color, you know, just so many different things. Identity is huge in it because, you know, you see the world differently, you're treated differently. And that's something that I think is really important to kind of express. And I'm so glad I appreciate the opportunity to express it the way it's kind of all happened. It's something that just is just there in my head.
So there's something you said earlier about, you know, watching these films of the 70s and 80s, kind of that horror, we're kind of in a horror renaissance, I'd say, you know, especially in the indie community, horror is pretty much at the forefront.
Yeah.
But I remember watching all of those films and reading all these books and never really being able to see myself in any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's starting to change a little bit. But what for you is the most challenging part of kind of amplifying Latina voices in your writing?
Well, I think opportunities, you know, just having, getting those deals, getting the acceptances, getting the yeses, getting your foot in the door, really, because you can have a great story. A lot of people have great stories, but it's having the opportunity to amplify it on a big level. You know, I'm very grateful for, I have an agent. I signed a deal this summer, which was really great. But those are the things that, you know, those little steps are what are needed, because obviously you can write a story, but where is it going to go if you don't have, you know, the bullhorn? So being able to, go on podcasts like this and be featured in magazines and different publications and interviews, it all helps. So I think it's just the opportunity to talk about your books, the opportunity to showcase your books, and to publish them as well.
So you have some works coming up. I know I've just finished recently Mestiza Blood. I got an advanced copy of that. It's beautiful.
Oh my God. Thank you. I'm so glad. I've been like biting my nails.
I love it. I actually absolutely loved the very first story. If people have read it yet or get a chance to read it, the nod to Queen of the Cicadas. I was just like, yes.
yes. Night of the Living Dead, Chola.
Yes. Yes. I love it. I love it. So your story, especially let's talk about Sed de Sangre and Queen of the Cicadas, are all very, they take these characters and you really create these strong, well thought out, beautifully written people that, you know, I see people that I know in them and I want them to do well. And they are just these perfectly real characters. And I mean, I can see the influence of your culture, but there's definitely a very V. Castro yes. style to this that I absolutely love.
Thank you.
Where does all that come from? It's just so, I don't know. I just love it.
Thank you. Honestly, it comes from within. It's the fire within. It comes from what's out there. it's a bit of, you know, it's a big two-way funnel, you know, and it creates this whirlwind inside and I just let it go. That's the best way I can describe it is, you know, I get the ideas and I have a culmination of my experiences, my passions, my beliefs, my pain, my worry, the people I know, the things that I've seen happen to people, stories, all the things I've experienced, and it just comes together. It just intersects and it creates a book, a short story. And again, like I'll listen to a piece of music or all of these different. So in there, there's a story called Truck Stop. That story happened. I was on a train and I was listening to my music and listened to Travis Scott's Butterfly Effect came on. And it was like, boom. I just had the seed of an idea. And then things that I was feeling inside, heartbreak, love, passion, sexual desire. And I had the story. It just happened. So yeah, it just, again, it's, I think like any book, any story, it's really unique and it comes from within and from out there.
You mentioned kind of that inspiration from out there. When I was reading Queen of Cicadas, there was a part where she's talking about her family coming over as migrant workers and how that kind of colors her entire, and this is Milagros talking about kind of how important that is to her and to come here and to do well by her family. And she's just so strong, and not to give too many spoilers, but it's part of the story that something terrible happens to her. And even with that terrible thing, this character is so strong that even death can't take her down. And that is just It's amazing to me. I mean, you just don't see characters like that. You don't see Latina characters that are just not in the background. They are the lead here. And my hope is one day that that's the norm.
That's what I'm working for. That is what I am hoping, I'm working for, I'm striving for every day. That's what I pray for every day. I pray, you know, and I put it out there and into the universe and set those intentions. Like, you know what? Let's see how far this can go. Let's see how many more Latinas can be represented and seen, how many more stories. And, you know, there's some really cool, exciting things happening in 2023, and it's going to go even further. So I'm excited. But yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate, you know, hearing that, because, you know, even on those days when you're like, because it's not easy, you know. And again, I think for all Latinas or all women in general, you know, we all have those things, those demons we have to overcome. And we have to, sometimes the only strength we have is the strength we have in our fists right here. This is all we have to hold on to, ourselves. And if you can do that, you can do anything. And that, for me, that's why even through death, it's kind of like, she didn't give up, and death herself didn't get, you know, is like, I'm coming for y'all.
It's just, yeah, that story really stuck to me. And there's specific lines in a lot of your stories that I've had to kind of stop reading and take a moment because they hit me so hard. And I know that's part of.
Thank you.
Thank you. Even though it's like an emotional, there's a line in Goddess of Filth. And for those that aren't familiar, which I hope you are, if you haven't read this one, this is literally probably my favorite story of all time. There's this a line where character says, like, I can't even talk the language. They've taken that from me. And it's just that moment of like the culture is so kind of fragmented. And there's so many things that, you know, being Latina and visibly showing that and then not being able to speak perfect Spanish, you feel disconnect from your own culture and America. And where do you fit? And have that in a story about these beautiful young women that are just learning life. And then to have a possession story on top of that. It's just, but it's not your typical possession story.
No, because we're not a typical women.
Yes.
And that's what I want to get across, is we are not your typical women. There's something about us, and we deserve that recognition. We deserve to be beautiful, no matter how dark our skin is, no matter how light our skin is. We deserve, no matter our weight, you know, if we have, you know, the shape of our noses, our eyes, you know, our lips, like, we deserve to be known that we are beautiful, worthy, valued. We matter. All of our stories are different, because we're, you know, throughout the Latinx community, you know, we have different stories, we have different backgrounds, we have so much, it's so rich culturally. And so I just kind of wanted to show that, you know, because every Latinx community has different histories and burdens they've had to carry. You know, so for me, that's something I really wanted to, I'm so appreciative that I can do this and get that across, and people can read it and be like, damn. And like you said, when you read those lines, and I always try to do that. And sometimes I get stuck on a book where I am writing line by line. Like, I will literally just think of a line and I'll just stick it in the manuscript at the very bottom. And then eventually I'll be like, oh, that's where that line belongs. But it's just like these statements that need to be said.
They're definitely reaching people. I mean, they reach me. I mean.
Oh, thank you. I am so great. I'm honestly, thank you so much. I'm glad I can, you know, be there for people.
Yes. Yes. It's funny because, like you said, we're all from very different backgrounds, but there is something that unites everybody. And that's kind of trying to learn our own voices, you know.
Yes.
Especially in a world where things are very homogenized or attempting to be. And it's, you know,
yeah,
people of color, especially, there's just a point where you have to take that power that you have and really just kind of use it.
Yep.
And I think that's the beauty of your books. It's like every character has something they need to fight for.
Yeah. And usually it's themselves. That's for me, that's the most important thing, is because I think also in our culture, we grow up with that expectation of fighting for everyone first. We're fighting for everyone first. And then on top of that, we have to fight to be seen ourselves, fight to be heard. No one's fighting for us. And so, you know, part of me, you know, is like, okay, I love writing. I love, like, you know, getting, doing the deals and do, and, you know, all the other stuff, but, you know, knowing that people are feeling this and having it touch them and connect them is really nice. You know, that's everything. That means the world to me, you know, and being able to be of service in that way.
And when you write and you are looking at kind of your, the Aztec culture is a lot of the basis for a lot of these stories. Did you grow up with those stories, or was this kind of, as you became an adult, you grew more interested in your more culture that's not necessarily the colonized culture of, say, Spain and all that? Is it more that you grew into that, or is that something you learned and kind of passed down in your writing?
You know, obviously, you know, growing up, like, I have photos, like, we had like big tapestries with like Mexico, and my grandfather would go to Mexico and bring stuff back. And so we've always been proud of our Mexican side, but you hear about the Aztec history and the temples, and okay, you're a kid, you're not like, okay, history. Okay. I've always loved history, but it wasn't until I got older and lived in the world, truly lived in the world, that I started to kind of go back and then also question, well, why am I not speaking fluent Spanish? Well, why do I feel different? Why does my mom look a certain way and I look a certain way? So all of those things, yeah, it's definitely become, as I become older, want to get into those roots more and dig deep, because there are a lot of parts of me I can't explain. And so that's why I want to explore that.
So speaking of women and Latinx culture, let's talk about sex.
Yeah, let's talk about sex, baby.
Yes, especially sex and horror. Personally, as a woman and as a reader, I've always been kind of, whenever it's approached in a horror novel, it's usually used to degrade or some kind of punishment for a character. It's never really written from an empowering standpoint. And your books take that and definitely show it from a sex is pleasurable, sex is supposed to be good, it's supposed to be for both people. And in a Latinx culture, that can be a little bit almost radical, because we're almost taught these puritanical beliefs growing up, you know, be pure and good, and then society views you another way. How would you say that all kind of comes out in your writing?
Well, first and foremost, I like sex. First and foremost, I really enjoy sex, and I like it, and I like reading about it, and I like writing about it. And I think that a lot of time is wasted arguing about it and making ourselves feel guilty, because I don't see a lot of guys feeling guilty about it. And you know, why should I, you know, be something I'm not? Why should I, you know, live any less than anyone else? If my body was built like this to receive pleasure and to feel pleasure, well, what's there to be ashamed of? You know, it's natural. And as far as religion goes, for me, well, that's, again, that's something that is imposed upon me. That isn't a natural thing. That's outside of me. That is outside critique. That's outside validation. Inside my heart, inside my soul, it's okay. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And that's what I'm going to listen to. And that's what women need to listen to. Okay. It feels right. It feels good. You feel safe. You feel loved. Enjoy. You know, it's, we're here to receive love and joy and pleasure. We're not here to beat ourselves up, beat her up and her up. And oh, look at her skirt. Look at her tits. Look at her da 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 da. Stop. Who cares? You know, mind your business. She got nice tits. Leave her alone. You know, she probably isn't breastfed, but you know, no, I'm kidding. You know, I am just sick of like mom shaming, slut shaming, women shaming, everything shaming. gender shaming. Just let people be. If it's like consensual, it again, like it feels good, it's safe, it's
yes,
and it's fun to write about. It's just fun and natural, and the human species wouldn't be where it is without it.
Yes,
and it does. I do hate reading. Also, it's time we reclaim our bodies. We reclaim our pleasure. We say, you know what? I'm not going to be that final girl. So, like in Mestiza Blood, the final porn star. You know, it's kind of like instead of the final girl who's like, you know, very virginal and she's like sweet. And it's like homegirl's a porn star and she's the ultimate final girl, you know? And to me, I just loved writing that. Again, it was, I got that picture. I got that idea because I was wearing a, I bought a snakeskin bodysuit, really low cut. And I took a selfie. And my first thing was like, girl, you looking like an aging porn star. I told that to myself.
But did you like the outfit?
Yeah, hell yeah. But I was like, you look like it, because it was very 1970s. I had the big gold hoops, my hair feathered, and like this like glittery snake skin. I was like, you look like an aging porn star. I was thinking the 70s porn, you know. And then I was like, final porn star. And it came up with a story.
I love it. Even in Hairspray and Switchblades, you know, there's a stripper character and she's amazing. I mean, it's just, you take these characters that in other horror oftentimes are kind of used as the banner of don't be this way. And you take it and you say, like, these people are empowered. They're not coming out of a place of, you know, this is what they want to do. And it's okay. It's okay to have these feelings as a woman, as a Latina, you know, it's all okay. You're strong.
And not everybody comes from a place of privilege. Not everybody can afford, you know, $40,000 a year on university. Not everybody has the luxury of having a trust fund or, you know, I am so incredibly privileged to write full time. That is a privilege and it is an opportunity I am trying not to waste. I try to write and get my stuff out there and work hard because a lot of people, especially people of color, do not have that opportunity to write full time. And therefore we don't get those stories out too. There's a lot of privilege. And for sex work and for a lot of these stories, I try to like shine a light on that privilege. You know, I wrote an article for Crime Reads about sex work and you know, you clutch your pearls and you have something to say about it. Well, you really don't know how some people live and you can't sit there and say like, well, I know someone who had it worse and they didn't go out and do this. Well, good for them, you know, but you never know what people's circumstances are. You really don't. And our job is to have compassion and love for everyone. If they're not hurting anyone, have love and compassion. And also, sex work is a two-way street. We tend to bash the sex worker.
Yeah, and there's no reason for it.
I have a book coming out in 2023, The Generational Curse of La Llorona. And it goes back, it takes the curse of La Llorona all the way back to the conquest. And, you know, it's, I have part of it is like, you know, you're a thing they lust for, but they're a thing they also ridicule. And to me, that's a lot, you know, that happens a lot.
Yeah. Especially with that story, you know, I grew up with that one too. And it's really, when you think about it, a story of a mother and,
I can't wait for people to read The Generational Curse of La Llorona. It's about, La Llorona, motherhood, and postnatal depression. Yeah. So I take it like, well, we have all the stories of La Llorona, but who was she really? And what was she going through to do that? And so I take it from the conquest to modern day. And then at the very end, you get the real story of the origin of La Llorona, but also the entity of La Llorona is something completely different. So I know, I can't wait for people to read it. It's cool.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, thank you.
And then Mestiza Blood actually comes out in January.
Yeah, Mestiza Blood. Yeah, and I'm just like, it's in reviewers' hands, freaking out. So I'm like,
have the reviews started coming?
Yeah. You know, people like yourself, you know, a lot of, you know, people are starting to read it and you know, share it on social media. And you're just like, but so far people like it. So that's, I'm happy about it. And a lot of it is just, you read it, is like, you can't take it. It's fun. Some of it, you just can't take it too seriously. It's just,
it's so fun.
Let me just go off the wall. And that's what I did.
I love that, though. I think there's also this kind of expectation when a person of color writes a story that it has to be this traumatic, awful, teach a lesson to the reader. And I love that you can have fun. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like,
that's why sex is in there. It's a bit, you know, okay.
Yes. And it's kind of crazy to me that, you know, you writing about sex, the way you write about sex can almost be revolutionary in a world that kind of treats sex in a dirty or shocking or kind of you know, negative way. You take it and just are completely like, no, like, this is what sex is and what it should be and what it could be. And
yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Embrace your body. Embrace your body. Embrace the pleasure that you get from your body.
Goddess of Filth is probably, I remember when I read that the first time, because I've read it many times, that was, it's one of my absolute favorites. And I didn't know what I was getting into. I knew it was a possession story. And I went to Catholic school for a very long time. So possession stories are kind of my favorite.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
But when got to the story and where it was heading with this kind of possession gone right, I will say.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is fantastic on so, it's just
you.
On so many levels. It was just like women empowerment, friendship, you know, reclaiming your body. I mean, just,
yeah.
Oh, like just being who you are and owning it and knowing that there's an outer strength and an inner strength that kind of can lead you forward into the person you're supposed to become.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's kind of, that story is an interesting one because, and I always tell this story to people who are trying to write and feel a bit discouraged. That actually, Goddess of Filth was a short story. And I was so sure it had to get in this anthology. It had to get in this anthology. There are big names in the anthology. I wanted it. And they, you know, you never see Latinas in anthologies. We never get the anthologies ever. And it was rejected. And I was really upset and I was crying. And then I was like, oh, fuck this. I'm going to just mess with it. At the same time, the Queen of the Cicadas was getting, I was trying to find a home. I was trying to get an agent. No luck. And then I did one of those Twitter pitch parties and a publisher, Creature Publishing, reached out and they're like, we really are interested in it. And I was still like, oh, I just really, really, I was like, I need an agent. I want an agent. Like that is the step I wanted to go. So I said, I'm still looking for an agent. Sorry. You know, I'm going to keep it, but can I give you another idea? And so I pitched Goddess of Filth, the short story, to make it a novella, and they loved it. And so instead of a short story deal, I got a contract for a novella. The Queen of the Cicadas did not get my agent, but then it went to Flame Tree Press and I got the two books from Flame Tree. I wrote The Generational Curse of La Llorona and then I got the agent. So when you feel in the depths of despair that there is no movement, there will be movement. Things happen for a reason. And I always have to remind myself that because you don't know what's going to lead. You don't know why that door is closed, but that door is closed for a reason. And I have to tell myself that because I fall into that, like, fuck that. Why did that not happen? Why is that door closed? But you don't know where it's going.
I love that. Sorry, I get a little emotional when you're talking because it's just, it's very, very wonderful to meet you and to have this opportunity to hear you talking about these words that have definitely left an impression on me and can kind of push me to even do this kind of podcast where I'm learning more about my own culture and who I am.
Yeah. Thank you. And it's beautiful who you are, you know, it's, It's women need to be told that. We need to be told that. I'm going to tell you a story that happened the other day. I'm getting emotional now. I was taking my baby out of the car and I hear this screech and I'm like, oh gosh, what is that? And I hear a door slam and this woman looking and this guy screeching away. And she just looked like, I can't even explain the look on her face, her body language. And I stopped her. I said, are you okay? Did he hurt you? Are you okay? And she just broke down. And I took her by the arms and I said, you know what? You're fucking, I said, you're beautiful. You worthy. You matter. Let him go. You have you. You're amazing. And you are beautiful. Are you okay? Do you need something? And I gave her a hug and she was like, oh my, and she just started and she's like, that's my husband. I said, well, you know what, husband or not, you're amazing. I said, you know, I'm divorced. I'm here with my kids. You know what? You do what you got to do, but you do not hold your head up. And I hugged her again. And she's like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you. Cause I could just tell what, you know, you see somebody that needs something. And I hope that these books can be a big hug, even though it's horror, that they can be a big hug in some ways, like that woman who walked out of the screeching car, not knowing.
You hit it on the head. It can be a big hug. Horror can do so many things that people don't understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's why I love this genre so much. It's the only genre I've ever been able to see myself in. It's
great. Yeah. And it's great that we have people, you know, women of color doing these podcasts and having your own voice out there, because that's what we need. You know, there's so many others out there, but yeah, the more we get involved, the more you'll see us, the more the mainstream will have to recognize us, because we are the tidal wave. We are that big school of fish that is right underneath the surface. So I'm so glad you're doing it. Don't you stop. and if I can ever boost anything you're doing, let me know.
Oh gosh, thank you so much.
Well, I mean, I'm boosting this on social media. So yeah, you just tag me and it's...
I will tag you in everything. I'm like, Nicastra said I could.
Yes, please do. Please do. I am like, yeah, please do.
And you're very well known in the community for giving back and for just doing what you can for other writers and other people of color. The gay community, you've just been... just a force. And so I just think that you're just wonderful. And I think that I just wish you all of the success in the entire world.
Thank you. And you know what? I have to say thank you so much for that, because any success that I have, it's not just for me. It's for us. I do feel a responsibility, not in a bad way, but you know, whereas like, you know what? You're given these, you have a platform, you have a voice. How can I be of service? How can I, you know, sometimes I wish I could do more, but, you know, at the same time, you know, I go through my own stuff. I go, you know, sometimes I have to retreat. And then I'm also trying to create, but I try to do as much as I can. But yeah, if I can ever do anything, you know, I try. And I think, you know, at the moment, just writing and getting out there and is what I can do.
Yeah, keep writing. That's all I ask of you.
My laptop is full. I have lots of stuff. So
that's awesome.
So, and my agent has a lot of stuff. So fingers crossed it all gets bought.
Yes, yes. So I know we touched on it a little bit, but can you tell us any more about your future projects? I know Mestiza Blood's coming out.
Yeah, yeah. So Mestiza Blood is out in January. Then I've got a few things with my agent, fingers crossed. In 2023, I have two projects out. One, I absolutely cannot talk about because I signed an NDA, but it's going to be so badass, so badass. a dream come true. The second one is The Generational Curse of La Llorona with Del Rey Books. So I'm really excited for that. And and people can pick up The Queen of Cicadas, Goddess of Filth, Hairspray and Switchblades, Sed de Sangre. All I ask is people leave a review, please, on Amazon, or, you know, that's the best thing you can do is leave a review, share you know, all of it matters. All of it counts.
Yes.
But yeah, that's kind of me is, and I'm just like in writing mode. Just, I turned in two children's books that I wrote to my agent. So fingers crossed.
Ooh, what are those about?
Okay. Well, one of them is actually a Latinx one. And something I grew up with, and it's a Pancho Claus and Cholo Christmas Heat. So it's Pancho Claus is the Mexican Santa Claus with his trusty burro Cholo. And they're like going out for Christmas. And then the other one is about, it's, you know, the Krampus story, but it's Krampolina.
It's a girl Krampus?
Yeah. A baby girl Krampus with a little dress with bells on the, yeah.
That's adorable. I won't lie. I have a 3-year-old, so I will be looking for those.
Yes. Well, they're with my agent. So, So those two are fingers crossed. And actually Pancho Claus, I don't know if readers out there have picked up Latinx Screams, which is, and I write about Pancho Claus in the final story. And so that's why I've revisited him, but as like a children's. So yeah, Latinx Screams, people can pick up Burial Day books, all Latinx anthology. But yeah, it's just me just kind of writing, keeping going.
That's amazing. Well, yes, keep writing. I'm looking forward to all of those projects, especially the one you can't tell us about.
I can't announce it. I have to wait for XYZ to announce it. And I'm just like, can you fucking announce that?
2023, though. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
We have a date.
You know, fingers crossed, I'll hear back at some point soon. And I can send that email and say, when are they announcing? Please. Tell me when.
Well, I could literally talk to you all day.
Oh, thank you. Same. I feel like we're like, know. You know, vibing.
I know.
You totally vibe.
Be my friend.
I know. Go out for drinks.
Yes. If you're ever in Florida.
I would love to go to Florida because it's so cold here.
See, I've never been to London, but I want to.
Well, if you ever in London. I know. Yeah, it's really cold. I've always wanted to go to Florida. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll take that offline.
I just miss being around Latinos, I think.
Yeah. So thank you so much for talking to us today. Is there anything that you want to leave our readers with before we sign off today?
No, just thank you. I appreciate your readership. I appreciate your shares, your reviews, your likes, all of it. Thank you so very much, because without the readers, I am just here. So thank you so much to the readers. I appreciate you. You know, I'm pretty, you know, around. You can follow me at @VLatinaLondon on Instagram and Twitter. And yeah, thanks. Big thanks to everyone. Thank you for having me. And thank you for everyone who's picked up my book.
Thank you so much. Seriously, you've made like, I don't even know. Yes, yes. I can't even like speak anymore.
Thank you, babe.
You're fantastic. Aww. And thank you so much. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others. Post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram @_southern_bruja and on Twitter @southern_bruja. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.